Lord, we do thank you, Lord, and as we get into your word now, Lord, we thank you for your word. It's our guide, it's a roadmap, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, decaying world. So, Lord, speak to our hearts, lead our hearts, guide our hearts, Lord. Challenge us through your word, convict us through the word. Change us through the power of your Holy Spirit and through the power of your word. Lord, we need you today more than ever. God, we need to hear from you. We need your word to guide us more than ever. So bless your word. Bless the ears of your people, that they not only listen, but they hear and they discern what the Lord is saying to the church this morning. We love you, Lord. We're so grateful and so thankful and just so blessed for you. And Jesus Christ, Lord, being in our life. And for the love of the people, the love of God and the people in this house, we thank you for it, Lord. We bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I did say Matthew 24:36. All right, so we've been going through a series, Is God Enough? And the series has brought us to this passage of Scripture, where they ask Jesus Christ, when will we know when the end is near? When will we know when you're coming back? So here we are. We pick it up at verse 36. It's a quick review, and then we'll go ahead and get into the lesson. Jesus tells them, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So Jesus says, when he comes back, it'll be business as usual. No one knows. It'll be business as usual. It'll be just like any other day. We'll get up and go to work. We'll go to school. We'll go to the gym. We'll go to the grocery store. And Christ will return. All right, it's two ways we're going to meet Christ. Either we transition through death or Christ will return. Either way, we don't even know what a day might bring. So it could happen any day, at any time, transition without warning. So make a note. Here's five things I noted. Number one, this message is directly to his disciples. He is talking to his disciples. He's not talking to everybody. So he is talking to his disciples. Number two, as we observe the signs that he talked about in Matthew 24:6, when we observe those signs, we should know that his return is near. So we've already talked about those things. When you get a chance, you can review and go back. But when we observe the signs, we know that his return is near. Number three, there is an element of surprise. To some, a terrifying surprise when Christ returns. Isn't it? You don't know. It's unexpected. Number four, he tells us to be alert and be ready. As the young folks say, stay woke. Jesus was the first one to say it. Watch, I'm going to read it. He's the first one told us to stay woke. And then number five, when you want to take a day off from being godly and holy, when you want to say, okay, I'm good, he's not going to come tonight. He said that's when he's going to come. All right, so those are five things I've noticed as we've been going through this. It will be unexpected. We have to have a kingdom mentality to always be ready for when Christ returns. So verse 36, but of that day and hour, no man knoweth. I have it written down. One of these, read this, Kathy. No one knows when Jesus Christ is going to crack the sky. Were you watching and praying this week? No one knows when they're going to meet the Lord through death or his return. You can be doing something as enjoyable as going to a country western concert in Vegas. And all of a sudden, you meet Christ. Not a rap concert. We understand it's a rap concert. Stuff always jumping off. But we're talking a country western concert. No one knows when Christ is going to return. We learned that through the word last week. We did. We read the passage of scripture. Matthew, make a note of it, 25:1-13, where there were 10 virgins, which represented 10 believers, but really it was only five, and it was 5 were wise and 5 were stupid. So it told us, don't be a stupid Christian. And it had nothing to do with them being virgins. It was them not having Christ in their heart, because it's not performance-based, it's grace-based. And they tried to borrow somebody else's Holy Spirit. You can't borrow somebody else's Holy Spirit. You can't. So we learned that last week. Here we are, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah, verse 38, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. It will be business as usual. How many of you ate something yesterday? How many of you drunk something yesterday? That's a trick question. How many of you were drinking yesterday? Let me ask it like that. How many of y'all was drinking yesterday?
Water.
Yeah, exact. Trick question. Jerry, you too. Yeah, I was seeing who's paying attention. I was trying to see who my sipping saints are, but that's okay. I just tried to set it up like that. That's okay. All right, just trying to set y'all up. I'm glad Jerry's on. Thanks for clarifying that, Jerry. Water, amen. We did. Okay, I got to admit. Had some root beer yesterday. Okay. I had some root beer. All right. How many of you know somebody that's getting married soon? Anybody know somebody getting married? Anybody know somebody engaged to get married? No? Whoa. Oh, Jay, is your hand up? Your hands up, Jay?
I know someone, yes.
You know someone getting married? You know somebody engaged to get married? Okay. All right. Just checking. It's not you, is it? Okay, all right. Let us know, Jay. There is something we need to talk about. Okay, all right. Got to check with Jay. Like, Dad, I'm getting married. What? I didn't know it was you, Jay. Anyway. Look at verse 38 again. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, it was business. They were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. It was business as usual. Verse 39, and they didn't know until the flood came and took them all away. But here's the kicker. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus said, I'm going to show up and you're going to be getting married. You're going to be drinking. You're going to be hanging out. You're going to be at work. You're going to be at school. You're going to be at the gym. Verse 40, then two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other shall be left. So it goes to show people will be left behind. So you have two taken and one left. So he's talking to his disciples. So I was trying to figure out, is he talking about the church? Is he saying that 50% of the church is going to be left, because he is talking to his disciples? So is there 50% of us that really aren't connected to God? And the other 50 are connected. And you don't know until he comes back and you left and you go, what happened? He is talking to his disciples. He's saying it's going to be 50. It's a 50-50 shot. And it's not talking about gambling. Or you're gambling if you're not in Christ. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you're taking a huge gamble. Two women shall be at work. Two women shall be at school. Two women shall be in the church. The one shall be taken, the other left. And then verse 42, that watch, that means stay woke, stay alert. Oh, I broke that down to it. And watch. Okay, let's try our English this morning. Watch. In the Greek, that word is a verb. And English scholars, verb is an
action.
Whoa, I feel good this morning. For those of you just visiting, math is not our strong suit, but English is. I will not ask a math question anytime soon. But this word watch in the Greek, it means to actively look or to expect. So we're not just to watch and relax. They say you to actively, every night, every day, you should be actively looking and expecting to see if Christ is going to return. Bless you. Because you don't know which hour your Lord is coming. Well, then you got to ask the question, too, is Jesus your Lord? Watch, therefore, verse 42, for you know not what hour your Lord is going to come. So then that would imply that Jesus is your Lord, and you have to make sure of that. Otherwise, you're not going to watch, because it doesn't really matter. Verse 43, Jesus said, you better know this. It says, but know this. But Jesus is saying, the tone of it is, you better know this. If the master of the house had known in what watch or what hour the thief, that thief in the Greek, the word is klepto. And we get the word, what do we get?
Kleptomaniac,
right? Someone who's always stealing. We all grew up with somebody who was a klepto, amen? You go into the store, next thing we all running because the klepto then took something and getting us chased. But Jesus said, if you would have known at what hour the klepto would have come to break it in your house, you would have been ready. Anybody your house has ever been broken into in the middle of the night? Somebody say amen. When you were there, somebody broke in? Can't even tell you how terrifying that is. Did they tell you they were coming? Oh, okay. They just showed up, huh? Jesus said, that's how he's coming back. You're not going to know. Hey, I don't have to tell you. You hear the window break, you hear something crash, and somebody's in your house. You nobody expects that. Jesus said, man, that's how I'm coming, just like a klepto. I remember when, maybe 10 years ago, and we get a call at 2 in the morning. I don't even know why I'm answering the phone, but you know, you got to answer 2 in the morning, you got to answer the call. So our neighbor calls and she says, the neighbor directly across the street from our house, she says, everything okay? And I said, yeah. She said, well, some people at your side gate, 2 in the morning. I'm like, oh, come on, you got to be kidding me. So we called the police and all that kind of stuff. And then I don't know what they were doing. Some eggs were thrown. The other house got TP'd or something like that. Can you imagine you get a call at 2 in the morning and say, you okay? There's some people outside in your yard up against your side gate. Well, they didn't plan on that. They didn't tell me they were coming. That's what Jesus is saying. If you would know, that's why God says no one knows the hour. Because you know what we would do? We would act crazy, and boy, we would act a fool. We'd be out partying, doing our own thing. You know, Jesus coming tomorrow. Okay, praise the Lord. I'm getting ready. And Jesus in his mercy would take us if we truly confessed and repented. Somebody say amen. Because it's not performance based. It's not about what you do. It's about the grace of God. So in his mercy, he would if we truly confessed and repented. But he said, that's what I'm not going to tell you. You stay ready. You stay woke. Don't be a stupid Christian. So I got another read this. Jesus said, you better know this. This is verse 43. If the man or master of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and been ready. Jesus is saying we will guard our homes and our business and our stuff more than we will guard our hearts, our eyes and our lives and our soul. Ain't that something? We'll put more effort into guarding stuff than to stand on guard for our heart, our minds, our eyes, and our souls. We will let anything infiltrate our hearts and our mind and soul, but we will lock our car doors, our windows, the doors to our house. We will prepare for a thief coming into our homes more than we will prepare for the returning of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then look at verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man coming. Just when you think, man, I'm good. I told you about, you know, our college, me and my college roommates. And, you know, I already told you how. No, that's the toughest thing, to rededicate your life while you're in college, man. It is tough. But when God puts a call on your life, either you're obedient or you're disobedient. So, anytime we would go out, my buddy Forrest would say, hey, if Jesus came tonight, would he take you? Oh, come on, man. Nobody want to hear that. Why you got to go there? Why are you trying to ruin my fun, man? Hey, if the Lord came back tonight, would you go? Man, these guys. But all still rooted and grounded in the Lord. And we challenge each other like that. Back then, we tried to stay woke. Sometimes it was like this, verse 44. He ain't gonna go. He ain't coming tonight. If he does, I'm taking my chances, okay? kind of stupid, but that's what we do every day. Be ready, stay ready. Some of the men and I, we were talking yesterday. Once Christ, you can't get ready once he comes. It's too late when stuff is happening. Family, I don't have to tell you all the things that have happened within the last month and a half. Where we start in Houston, then we go to Florida, then we go to the Caribbean, then we go to the Bahamas, then we go to Puerto Rico, then we go to Mexico, then we go to Vegas, and then we just had a hurricane hit New Orleans and Mississippi last night. We're not going to talk about the stuff that's going on in France, London, and Spain. We're not going to talk about that. Jesus said, you're not going to be able to get ready. It's going to be, you got to stay ready. You got to stay woke. You have to be ready. Because you and I, we don't know when we're going to meet Christ through death or his return. Most people don't know when their time is coming. Get ready, stay ready, and be ready. Amen? All right, so let's go back to, please turn back to 1 Thessalonians, J.L. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1. Natalie, J.L., who's working this morning? Is that Natalie or J.L.? I don't have my glasses on. Which one? Is that Natalie or J.L.? I don't know which one is working this morning. Family, if you're taking notes, and I know most of you do, write down, God is trying to tell us to have a kingdom mentality. Every decision we make has to be based on the kingdom of God, a kingdom mentality. When you give, it has to be because you have a kingdom mentality. When you speak, how you interact with people, it has to be because you have a kingdom mentality. That's how you stay alert. That's how you stay active. The people that you meet, your standard is Jesus Christ. Measure them against a kingdom mentality. What mentality do they have? And I'll tell you right off the top, is it someone you should be ministering to or someone you should even give the time of day? Remember, two people come into your life for two reasons, to push you closer to God or pull you further away. It is no in between. Let me say it again. People come into your life to push you closer to God or pull you further away. It's no in between. Do they have a kingdom mentality? Did I say 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1? Yes. Okay, so this is where we started, which took us to Matthew. Paul is saying, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write you. Why not? Because Jesus already told us. Paul said, I don't need to go over this again. He's writing to the church at Thessalonica. They are one of his, an infant church that Paul built. So there are a lot of new believers here. So I don't even need to write you about the days or the time, because Jesus has already done that. Verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so come as a thief. There we go again, as a thief in the night. Where did Paul get that from? From the scriptures, right from Jesus Christ. Paul said it's coming just like a thief in the night. So then I ask the question to you all. If Jesus came back tonight, and just think about this, and you know, we can be honest. If Jesus came back tonight, would you and I be ready to go? Is there anything that you and I are doing right now that would prevent us from being excited about Christ returning and taking us away from this orderly system of deception? Is there anything that I hold more dear than Jesus Christ coming back, where I would say, no, Lord, how about next month? Like you said, people be getting married. I was just getting ready to get married. I just got engaged. Lord, come on. Lord, I was just getting ready to get divorced. Man, I was just getting ready to have fun again. Is there anything that would prevent you Lord, I just started a church. I know it's your church, but I wanted to do some things first. Why, you got to come back now. So take a look with me. Let's go back to Matthew. Is there anything that would prevent you from being excited about Christ returning? Let's go here. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and 19. Is it my job? Is it my business? Is it my ministry? Is it a relationship? Is it a house? I just bought a house. I just bought a car. I just bought a yacht. Lord, I just started a church. I just met a new friend. Lord, I have an enemy. I was just getting ready to get even with. Lord, let me get even with my enemy first, and then you come back. But let me get even first, Lord. Is there anything that you would prevent you? And here's Jesus speaking. I say Matthew 6 and 19. He said, store not up for yourself. That word lay means to store or to accumulate. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, possessions on earth. Wealth on earth is what treasures translate to. Where moth and rust will corrupt or ruin, and where kleptos will break through and steal. Here's the thieves again. We worried about the wrong thief in the night. Make a note, we've been worried about the wrong thief in the night because we got so much stuff that means nothing. Make a note, remember the only thing we can take to heaven with us is other people. The only thing we take with us to heaven is other people. Family, make a note again. This is talking about a kingdom mentality, a kingdom mindset. It's a kingdom mentality that we need to have as Christians. When we interact with each other, it has to be about building a kingdom. I'm building you up, edifying you so you can go out and do kingdom work. We should build each other up. It's a kingdom. When we interact with each other, it's a kingdom mentality. It's a kingdom mindset. So I'm saying, don't store up treasures for you upon earth where moth and dust can ruin them, where kleptos break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. How do you do that? How do you invest in the kingdom of God? In addition to your tithes and your offering, we're talking about your life. What are you investing in other people? Are you witnessing? Are you sharing the gospel? Lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. You can lay those things up in heaven. How? I don't know, but there are treasures that are laid up in heaven because it says so. Kingdom mindset, invest in the kingdom of God. There are people in heaven because you and I witness to people. There's people in heaven who witness to us. It's a beautiful thing. It's laying up treasures in heaven. And there where moth and dust cannot ruin them and thieves can't break in, kleptos can't break in and steal. Verse 21, put a star by it. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Whatever you value, that's where your heart is. It's the word. If you treasure stuff more than the Lord, then you into stuff. That's what has your heart. And God doesn't have a problem with us having stuff. He has a problem when the stuff has us. So it's not about having stuff. We know that. But when the stuff has you, that is a problem. And you're more worried about the klepto than you are worried about the Christ returning. Verse 24. No man, no person can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and you can't serve money at the same time. You cannot do it. He said, you're going to be loyal to either God or you're going to be loyal to stuff. You can't have a dual relationship. It's like It's like having a wife and a girlfriend. Well, I wouldn't know, John. I wouldn't know. You ain't going to catch me slipping, homie. I wouldn't know. But I know that you can't have both and be loyal to both. Just by definition, by having a wife and a girlfriend, you can't be loyal to both. That's what God is saying. I can't be your God and then money's your girlfriend. That's what God is. You got to have a kingdom mentality. You can't. God said you can't do it. Because you're going to hold fast to one and you're going to despise the other. You're going to love one. Eventually you're going to love one. You're going to hate the other. Any of the guys want to tell me how it was like when you had a wife and a girlfriend? Praise the Lord. Hey, how about any wives want to tell me how you had when you had a husband and a boyfriend? No? Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. I'm glad y'all didn't go for that. I don't even want to know about that. Okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all trying to get pastor in trouble. I'm trying to get everybody in trouble this morning, ain't I? God says you can't do it. And then look at verse 33. Matthew 6:33, a very familiar verse. You have the but, which is the conjunction. God said, well, God, what do I do? It's a lot going on, Lord. What do I do? God says, but you seek ye first. Make your number one priority, your kingdom mindset. Look what he says. Seek ye first the kingdom, because you got to have a kingdom mindset, a kingdom mentality. But seek, go after God. Run to God first and live right. His righteousness means that you live right. So you just don't run after God. You run after God and you live right. And then all these things will be added unto you, because he just talked to them about don't take thought for what you're going to eat, where you're going to stay, all that kind of stuff. What do we do? He said you seek God first and everything else and his righteousness and all these things added unto you. Kingdom mentality. Stay woke. Stay actively watching for Christ. Go after God. Everything else and live right. Everything else is provided. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Stop being stressed out. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Write that down, those of you taking notes. Stop being stressed out and stop worrying about tomorrow. God is trying to alleviate a lot of stress and pressure from our life. It's a lot of stuff that we're carrying that we weren't meant to carry. And we walk around with it every day. God said, cut it out. Stop carrying all that stuff. Stop worrying about tomorrow. What am I going to do? What am I? He said, go after God. Live right, and everything else is taken care of. Amen. Verse 34, stop being anxious, stop being worried, stop being upset, stop losing sleep about tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. He's saying tomorrow's going to have to do itself. He already told him earlier, you can't change one height of your stature or cubit. You can't do anything by worrying. So cut it out. For take no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And then he said, sufficient or satisfactory unto today is the issues and trouble there. He said, today, you got enough just handling today. Why are we all worried about tomorrow? You can't even handle today. Stop stressing about tomorrow. Just handle today. Today got enough to worry about today. Trust me. Before the day's over, we're going to have enough that and filled our plate. We didn't have enough. And you trying to worry about tomorrow and today? Are you kidding me? Said, don't do it. All right. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. And then we'll finish up until next week. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write you, because Jesus already told us. For yourselves know perfectly, make a note, family, for you know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You have no idea. We know for sure that we will have no idea when the Lord returns, but we do know that he will return. And that's where we'll pick it up next week. Let us just spend a few moments in prayer, and we'll go ahead and dismiss. If you would just bow your heads. It's one of the toughest things to do to have the kingdom mindset and the kingdom mentality. Because the delusion and the strong delusion of the world tells us everything opposite to what the scriptures tell us. So, Lord, we just want to pray right now, Lord, as you've spoken to our heart. You told us we can't have you and money. You can't be our God and money's our girlfriend. It's not going to work. You told us you're coming back like a thief in the night. Just when we think that you're delaying, that's when you're going to come. It's going to be business as usual. And you're going to come back and people are going to be left behind. Just like in the days of Noah, the flood came and people were left behind and they drowned and they died and went to hell. You're telling us it's going to be the same way. So, Lord, we accept the challenge to have a kingdom mentality and a kingdom mindset. God, give us the strength. We know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You told us to invest in the kingdom of God with our time, with our treasures, with our talents, with everything we have. Make the investment of touching lives, touching souls for Jesus Christ. Because that's the only thing that we take to heaven with us as other people. So God, I'm praying that we have a kingdom mindset, a kingdom mentality. Thank you for the challenge this morning. Thank you for convicting us, Lord. Thank you for caring enough about us to leave your word. So we'll know how to live, how to think, how to give, how to forgive. We bless you for that. Maybe someone's here this morning. You say, Pastor, my first step in the road to the kingdom mentality is accepting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords into my heart. Maybe you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm saved. If that's you, elevate your hand. You don't have to guess. You can be sure. Elevate your hand if you're not sure if you're saved. Maybe you hear you saying, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life. I've just been sliding on the rails. I haven't been watching, haven't been looking, haven't even been caring about Christ. But this morning, the word showed me that Jesus is coming back and Jesus is real. I want to be ready. I want to stay woke. I want to actively look for Christ. I want to rededicate my life. If that's you, you want to rededicate your life this morning. Elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're looking for a church home and you've been visiting, and from the worship to the word, you say, I just love what God is doing here. You want to join with South Bay Abundant Life Church. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. We'd love to be part of the process as you reach your method and your purpose in God. So, Lord, we thank you. Oh, we love you, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that speaks to our heart, leads and guides us, provides for us, challenges us, convicts and changes us, as only God can do. We know it's not performance-based, Lord, it's grace-based. Thank you for your grace. And because we are saved, we want to live for you and we want to have a kingdom mentality. Bless your people. Bless your word. May we live what we have heard. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I need to see the men just like we did last week. I just need 2 minutes with the men before we dismiss. All men, please come up here quickly. Stand to your feet. Give someone a hug. God bless you, and you are dismissed.